This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Sia Sangweni. It is the 22nd of August. Yeah, I know we often talk about it on the show. You'll roll your eyes at us for this one. But we always just have to calculate minus the one and carry the four and remind ourselves what day it is and where we are. It's a Thursday, so we have Sis Pumi here. Good morning.
Hello, Sia.
And Kuku's here as well. And it's just one of those mornings. Let's just get that out of the way.
It's one of those. What do you mean it's one of those?
It's just one of those mornings. I was asking Sis Pumi earlier off air, like, is it maybe like, yeah, is it a Mercury retrograde? Is it a full moon that's disrupting everyone?
Memory
retrograde. Mercury retrograde. I don't know.
Is that it? Is that saying words part of it?
I don't know. I just know when people are having bad and offish days, they just blame it on things like that. But Gareth is coming. He just is delayed a bit. He says he'll be here by 20 past.
What?
Also South Africa,
Did we not have this story from you and Jay yesterday? We had a conversation
about this.
We had a rant. Mm. And I thought Gareth and I were on the same side when it came to this rant about lateness and people being late. Mm. And, I mean, as far as I can see right now, it's 12 minutes past 6. I can't see Gareth in here.
Go ahead, rub it in, Goku. Huh? Go ahead.
The irony of it, though, that, like, literally the day after we have a rant about late coming and late people, and Gareth also feels strongly about that, you know? And he's...
But he did...
Maybe when he gets here, we should have this conversation. Maybe he decided after your conversation yesterday, let me try this thing out. Let me see how this thing works.
Or let me show them.
Let me see how this thing works. Let me try it out. Let me see what it feels like for people like Sia who are always late.
Yeah, it could be.
Just because I owned being late doesn't mean I'm always late. I'm... The way I described myself yesterday is I'm the king of ish. If I say I'll be there at 9-ish, that gives me a window period of 9:01 to 9:59. So just expect me somewhere there, 9-ish. See, that's not bad. Sometimes I might surprise you and be there at 9:01. Sometimes things might go bad and I'll be there at 9:59. But you know, I'm the king of ish. It's a nice window period there. Oh, she's judging
me. Look
at
the way
much.
She's staring at you. Looks could kill right now.
Judging me so much. Are you never late?
Hey? Yeah, I have like people to get to school on time. I have meetings and clients waiting.
That's how normal people operate.
All of those
you don't need to explain yourself.
All of those things. Just respecting each other.
Yeah,
to respect and each other's time. Yes.
Learn from us, yeah? You'll be a better human.
And you never have those days when just things are spiraling out of control. Well, I clearly also wish I grew up with you guys around me because I've been forgotten at school a couple of times.
Which is part of the reason why I just, when I say to my son I will be there at 4, I am there bloody well at 4 because I was that kid waiting for my dad with the security guard.
Now, how are you going to have a son if you behave this way, yeah?
Did you ever have to like go to reception when you were the only one left?
Because
at my school, speaking of punctuality, at my school, they didn't have those contingencies. Why? Because people showed up on time.
No, but we've been there. Where you're the last kid. They take you to the office. They say, what's your period? They found your parents' number. And they call your parents, and you feel so cuck about it, you know? Parent comes through, has a little chat with the teacher around the corner, you don't know what they're talking about, and you go home. Wow. It's horrible.
I don't know what the school is like now, but when I was at the school, the bus arrived on time, the bus left on time, people at the office left on time, they used to lock the gate.
You went to those hardcore schools, didn't you, Pumi?
I went to a German school.
Oh, look at that.
There's no middle line.
No leeway.
It was what it was. You know, like I've been chatting a lot about my sister who's now going for therapy, and I now feel like I'm getting deputy therapy because of her. But now one of the things she also cited and what has come out of her therapy sessions is that lateness and how that's affected her when she was not picked up on time and how that made her feel. So now I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm a victim. I'm sorry, just had to throw that one in there. But you can I am feel bad for me on this one. But you can message us on 0797482090 if you want to add to this morning's conversation. Someone messaged us here just trying to get her name. Riet says Papa G cannot fire himself for being late.
Suppose that's why he
so
confident right now.
So but we can judge him.
Yeah, yeah, we can judge him for now, but we can't fire him for that. And then someone else messaged us. Craig says, track his ass, log in on his Gmail.
Tell us more, Craig. Teach us.
No, well, it kind of sound like Mm-mm. you. Mm-mm. Why? Mm-mm. No, yeah, that's I don't want that. He says he'll be here when he's here, so that's fine. And then who's this? Andre says, I'll forgive you guys. I overslept and woke up 30 minutes late. Yikes. Yeah, you know, lateness is just one of those things. You just, it's bad, we all get it, but I don't think we should judge each other that much. Because, you know, when the mighty fall, cuckoo. I'm not saying I'm gunning for you here, but I'm just saying I'm keeping a calendar and tabs on how things happen and when things will happen for you.
The mighty never falls, yeah, you don't understand.
Mm, jeez. Okay. Carry on with that. Yeah. Guys,
moving right along from that thing.
Yeah. Oh, but then someone else adds, sorry, just before that, someone else messaged. Seyfried says, well, Papa G can fire Google for talking shit, son.
Well, you know what? Two
very
defense.
Good point.
Two defense. He probably has a damn good excuse and damn good reason why he's late. So let me not judge him before he gets here and explains.
Who is the king of
what?
Yeah,
do
what
excuses, is now? But do excuses count though?
No, but there could be a good reason. He probably got a flat tire or something. The dog was sick and
excuses count to me.
I don't know.
And when do you make the excuse? I get slightly irritated when mm-hmm. I'm supposed to meet somebody at 9. And they phone me at 9 to tell me they're running late.
Oh, that's just
because I think you should phone at 8:45 to say you're running late. Because
even
at 9,
I hear you.
When you call me to say you're running late at 9, you're actually not running late. You are late.
Yes.
Like, and you knew at 8:45 that you were not going to be there on time.
Yeah. I fully agree with you there. When it comes to excuses, for me, it excuses matter when they make sense. You know, when you knew exactly that, oh shucks, actually I'm still getting dressed now, there's no way I'm going to make it in time, and you tell me then, you tell me at 8:20 because we're going to meet at 9, that counts. Don't Good tell man. Me at 9. And I'm once again, I always do that. No, I know it's just not going to be possible for me to see you in 30 minutes. I'm not going to make it there in time, and I think that's valid.
It's fair, like 30 minutes I think is fair, because then you give me the time to say, okay, I'm not going to leave now if you're going to be late. Instead of telling me at 8:45, I'm mm-hmm. already on my way there. What am I going to do now? Chill in the car, wait for you.
Mm. Ah, Kuku, do you know what? Here's the thing about being mighty. People start remembering things. I'd actually forgotten about this, but well, look, some people are keeping tabs. Clayton says, Kuku has been late.
Have I? Clayton?
In his first few weeks, and Ben reprimanded him.
Nah, do you remember that?
I do remember that. It was like your first couple of days here, actually, in that first week.
No.
Well,
I remember what happened. I
well,
was on a bike.
Oh,
no, listen.
Listen.
It's not an
Google
excuse,
this
it's
morning.
An explanation for me. There's a difference.
Okay, go ahead.
It was my first few weeks. I didn't have keys to this place, right?
You weren't used to getting
keys.
Up at 4.
No, I hadn't been given keys. So I was on a bike, middle of winter. I come here, I get here, and I remember sitting outside here on a bike waiting for everyone to arrive, because you MFs always get here late.
Please,
right?
Be, we aren't MFs.
Circumspect with your language. I brought children.
Yeah.
They don't know what an MF is.
Anyway.
So I'm chilling here on the bike in the morning, waiting, and it's cold and it's winter. So I said, tomorrow I'm not getting here first. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I was late in inverted commas.
The joys of backtracking and excuses. But it's the truth.
This is the thing about the internet. The internet never forgets.
Craig never forgets either.
Clearly, I love that you were called out. See, when you claim to be perfect. Look, there's been so much going on this week, whether it's just in current affairs, whether it's just keeping tracks of what is happening in this court case, the sentencing of the Krugersdorp killers. I was just even saying in the political world, there were tons of things going on. But I think one of the things we hadn't really discussed yet is how now there's been a new tough rule that's been put in place in South Africa in particular, continuing this whole thing about lying on CVs. And how now you could face some jail time according to what you lie about, you know. So job seekers and prospective students who submit fraudulent qualifications or misrepresent themselves will now face up to 5 years in prison in terms of what is called the National Qualifications Framework Amendment Act of 2019.
Whoa. Have you ever lied in your CV?
I actually have never had to submit CVs in my life. I've had one main job in my career thus far. Oh, yes. When I do, I haven't lied about this, but you know, I do a lot of emceeing things and speaking gigs.
So when you submit your profile, you brush it up a little.
You know, sometimes
he spruces it up.
This is what I'm saying. When you have to stand up at the Sandton Convention Center in front of a full auditorium, you need to sometimes shine things up. But you can't just say, "Hey, I'm Siya Zangweni. I work at cliffcentral.com and I'm my mother's favorite son." No, that's not impressive. You need to shine things up a bit. Have I done that? Yes.
What's shine that's things not up? What How far do you go?
But
when
that's
you
not what they're
up?
Talking about here. Yeah, here they're talking about, I'm a professor of what? And then, you know, there's a story now in Nigeria, I think, where the minister, I want to say, one of the judicial ministries.
Yeah.
Something pretty like high up, and he's like, he can't find his certificates because they were burnt or because they got eaten by rats, but he's got some kind of like really the story is so crappy. I'm just like, guy, you don't have the qualification, don't you?
It's so basic. It's the next level of my dog ate my homework. If what, my certificates were eaten by rats?
Or they, look, burnt, if you live in or Alex, they were burnt down. Okay.
You're telling me there's no.
That is not an excuse. You just phone the institution that issued the certification and they will send you a copy.
Fair enough. Have you ever lied for me? You've been around the block once or twice.
I don't know what that means, but hell no. I don't need to lie. My CV is damn impressive.
Drops mic. But you know, for something like this to be enforced, it means a lot of people do it.
Although it will not be enforced. This is the thing about it. This is what irritates me about all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
There's another, the ARTO Act was also, bill was also signed and is now law. All of these things. Guys, we can't do the basic here. Our police can't do the basic of just catching people that steal your cell phone or your laptop out of your car.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, now what? They're going to chase down thousands of job seekers who have lied on their CV about...
Do they even care about that?
Going to VidTech? Come on.
But you know how sometimes our priorities can surprise us here in this country?
I'm just saying, you know, all laws are only as good as they are enforceable. They really are only as good as they are enforceable. If it's difficult to police, so somebody might say, hey, you know, somebody lied on the CV, but are they going to take it to the police? They're just not going to give you the job and they're not going to call you back. Because they do that when you submit your CV. They do that, guys. They phone. They do a reference check.
Yes. I'm trying to figure out.
So how bad of a problem is this really? Is this just a problem because like Paolo Jordan was not, you know?
Is that how far we have to take it? I'm trying to figure out how someone gets to the point of lying on their CV. Is it because you you're trying to apply for a job you aren't qualified for, or maybe you might still be in the middle of your course, but you really are gunning for this job. I wonder how you confidently say, yes, sis, I have a...
It's a character thing, I think. If you're a liar by character and you're used to that kind of thing, what would stop you from doing it on your CV?
Really?
I think it's a character thing. If you're an honest person, it would not feel right for you to make things up and put them on a CV. Think about it.
Do you think some people also lie about marks?
People lie about marks all the time.
to just bring that up a bit, that would be, you know.
Although, you know what? There's a guy I work with who was a visiting professor.
Okay.
As one of these institutions. And so that tenure has now come to an end. But we still go to meetings where people insist on saying prof. And he's like, I am not a professor. And I can see how if enough people are just deciding to refer to you as prof.
You just roll with it.
Some people could just roll with it. Because, yeah. You know, like...
Why do I have to know? Well, yeah, prof sounds nice.
The way... But... For me, it was always fascinating to watch because people also like that. People like to be like a doctor or a professor or, you know, a surname behind your surname. PhD, you know, people like that. And I can see how people could just roll with it.
Uh-huh.
And if enough people roll with it for enough time, you don't even have to put it on a CV somewhere. People just assume. That's who you are, that's what you have. And then one day somebody's like, yeah, I went to varsity with that guy. No, he's not a professor.
Yeah, you know, there's often this thing called imposter syndrome, where sometimes you're just faking it and you yourself have that niggly feeling within you, like, ugh, I don't know, I feel like I shouldn't be here. Or if sometimes you're in a meeting and a lot of highfalutin smart things are being said, you feel like, oh, actually, am I smart?
I don't belong here, do I?
Yeah, I don't know how I'd be able to live with myself like that if I knew I'd faked my way to this point. So what if it does work for you? You lied on your CV, you get this job ultimately.
Then what?
And then what? If you're hired to be some sort of chemical engineer,
well, look at,
and
then
I don't think people lie about
lie that much.
But look at government, man. Do you think? I mean, we had this conversation yesterday when I was saying to Gareth, it was the day before, Figile. He's been there, he's been here, and I said to Gareth, what does he know about things like sports? Now, where is he now?
Transport.
Well, how does one person wear all those hats and fit in all those positions?
Well, look, I think that's a very rare and different case, you know. But for the average person who's lying about this, who's tweaking a couple of things, I don't know. I won't say good on you. Let's just see what happens. All I'm saying is it will be a very interesting jail cell if you're stuck with, you know, hey, what did you do? I murdered. What did you do? Oh, I stole 6 cars. What did you do? Well, I just happened to be very liberal with my Microsoft Word and I was typing a bit. Those are going to be some odd times.
Well, my favorite tweet last week, and definitely a quote that's been repeated and repeated,
mm-hmm,
by... what's his name? Pete Rampedi, right?
Yo.
Is lies have short legs.
So, can we just quickly talk about Pete? Because I feel like he's your new favorite person recently. Because he has been in the news for the longest time. And I'll fully admit, we've been trying to get him on the show over the past couple of days. But he just does not want to do or say a thing.
Anymore.
No.
He said everything he has to say.
So every time I came to him with different angles, like, hey, can we discuss this? And what about we discuss your colleague, one of the journalists now laying a complaint against you? He says, if you want to hear anything... go onto my Twitter account. And he says he's not saying anything more. So if you want to hear anything that Pete Rampedi says, go straight onto his Twitter account.
He said what he said.
Yeah, what do you think about him?
I don't think about him, but I'm quite intrigued at like the fact that he's thrown a match into the grass and it's just like burning everything up.
And what lies, shit up. Lies have... short legs.
Lies have short legs.
What does that mean? They can't run that fast.
Gugu.
They can't get very far, Gugu. They Gugu can't just, get very far.
Gugu, oh, just work with us.
They only go so far.
Please just work with us here. Yeah, it's just not the worst thing ever.
Gugu.
Yeah, I don't know.
For me. It's still early, you know? Well, I haven't had that coffee yet.
Can I be corny for 2 seconds here?
Go ahead.
No, we started off saying it's just one of those days. Can I just talk about, it's a bit of a beautiful day. I'm going to be corny. So the Ndlovu Youth Choir, based in South Africa, is in America. Remember, we brought this up a couple of weeks ago. They're now competing in America's Got Talent. Well, they had a great performance this week that actually was one of the things I saw being very popular on social media and on my timelines. They're from Limpopo. They're competing in America's Got Talent. The live and results show will be today, actually, Thursday, American time. So let's see how they go. We'll cross fingers for them. But they actually did this amazing, amazing performance of U2's Beautiful Day. And they're actually in the quarterfinal round. So here's just a bit of it. I really thought this was cool.
The heart is a blue. Hey, yeah. Up through the stony ground. And faith won't be. Mama, I used to run into this town. Out of blood. Rhythm that you had to catch.
Hey, la, la, la,
you go.
Hey, la, la, la,
hey, you're not moving anywhere.
Hey, la, la,
you thought you'd find a friend to take you out of this place. If someone knew could lend a hand, turn for grace. It's a beautiful day.
Sorry I'm late, especially ironic after yesterday when we were talking about exactly this thing. That's really beautiful. The Ndlovu Youth Choir, huh? Amazing. Wow, so there they are. On America's Got Talent, huh? Very nice. I should really watch these reality shows from time to time. I never do. All right. It is a Thursday morning. We've got the Burning Platform later on for anybody who is interested in doing some serious current affairs stuff, but just because there are some people who like a little diet rather than a huge big meal, we do the 5 things you need to know in the morning, which is where we talk about the biggest stories of the day, and this morning is no different. So I'm going to go into some of the stories that everybody's talking about this morning, some of the things that everybody wants to talk about in the news. Pumi mentioned the one, which I think is something I think a lot of people are probably interested in at the moment. I know Gugu as a person who's written about cars and about motoring and all the rest of it, and we've got George Meany coming in tomorrow, so I'll ask him. But this Auto Act that has been signed into law by the president, obviously something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people very nervous because the Auto Act would make a lot of us very, very bad people, according to the law. Right, Pumi? But you said just now, and I was listening to the show, you were saying,
irritating.
So what? They're not going to be able to enforce this. But I think they can with Auto because they won't renew your car license. They won't let you sell your car or register a new car. So they can get in the way if you haven't paid all your fines and if you are in contravention. The problem with the Auto Act, too, is it keeps a log of all the bad things you've done.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think we may just end up in some trouble here.
We have a broken public transport system.
You sound like Musi Maimane. We have a broken public transport system with a broken president with a broken. By the way,
How are they going to do that with taxis?
Good luck.
It's not going to happen, like, right? It's not going to happen. Forget about it. Speaking of, like, Musi, when last did you hear from him? He's gone.
Hi, point. Bakhayetsu.
Please, who's on Twitter? You're the only person left on Twitter, Pumi.
He tweeted Bakhayetsu the other day.
What did he say?
He's actually exhausting to me.
What did he say?
What's the direct translation of Bakhayetsu? My people.
Bantu bagits.
Oh, and like he's always using that term when he's tweeting. To me, it seems a bit too, I'm trying to seem cool and I'm trying to seem like one of the people.
Yeah.
So always tweet saying, ah, Bakhayesh, oh, my people.
Please.
Calm down, Musi. Just no. And then poor some guy, and I really don't generalize often.
Who's some guy?
It's a white guy who doesn't understand Sotho then.
What did he say?
But
also tweeted Bakhayetsu.
Yeah, so
did he?
Musi tweeted once, good morning Bakhayetsu.
Dumelang
Bakhayetsu, happy birthday to my mother. But there was a phrasing of Bakhayetsu and Dumelang where this follower clearly got confused and said, oh, happy birthday to Dumelang. Bakhayetsu. Like, no, Musi's mother's name is not Dumelang Bakhayetsu, so don't understand that. So.
Oh, it's funny.
But Musi is the only person I know who, when he comes on Twitter, he starts all his tweets by greeting everybody. That's why they call him Dumelang.
Yeah.
Because it starts out by Dumelang.
I hate this. And you know where it comes from? Someone told someone in government once that when you go on a radio show or something, you must greet. Good morning to you and to your listeners. Like, obviously, you don't need to say that, you moron. And I hate it when people say it because you know that they've been trained by someone who doesn't know how media
works. The same person.
Yeah, but it's the same person and someone who obviously doesn't know how media works, because you don't need to waste time going, good morning to you and to your listeners. It's so goddamn annoying. It drives me crazy. Oh, when I hear it, it puts an instant, like...
And when you listen to the normal radios, Gareth, people phone-ins, everybody starts by... Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, that's a very South African thing too. Yeah.
Hello, how are you?
I like getting straight to the point.
Well, that's one of the first lessons I learned when I started off, and I spent my first week while we were still at Five with Damon, and he always just had to grunt at the callers like, hello, do not ask Gareth how he's doing. He's fine. I'm like, okay. Damon, do you want to maybe say it in a nicer way? Do I...
It was my fault. It was my instruction. I was like, don't get them saying, how are you? All right, so let's get back to the news. Arms deal ruling, the Sariti Commission. Apparently, well, according to the Gauteng High Court in Pretoria, they've ruled that the findings in the Arms Deal Commission are to be set aside. That means, in legal language, that's like saying a heap of steaming bullshit.
Thank you very much.
Right? Yeah.
In legalese.
So, it's as if the Sariti Commission never existed in the first place. That's what they're saying. A full bench of the High Court, led by Judge President Dunstan Mlambo, on Wednesday found that the Sariti Commission had failed in its duty to investigate the controversial arms deal. It was a waste of time. Can you imagine?
150 million rand.
Is that how much it cost?
Yep.
Jeez. Wow. I reckon we could have done it for like 5 million pums.
Dude! Here we are, 150 million later. Everybody's saying, yeah, well, thank you very much. That was that. It means nothing.
Unbelievable. It sets a precedent that courts can review a commission of inquiry, which means that all commissions are open to judicial scrutiny. So they should all be aware, all of them, that we can double check you now. And it's
so now I wonder, what is the point of said commissions?
Like the one that's going on at the moment, the state capture one.
For the next 2 years. It's until 2021.
But also, I wonder if the judge in this case, Judge Sariti, who led that commission, I wonder if he's embarrassed that his whole commission of inquiry has been set aside. That basically people are saying, you didn't need to do this. You were in dereliction of duty. I mean, there's got to be something about how he feels about himself. A retired judge. This was his lasting pet project that he had to lead, and he screwed it up.
More importantly, are people going to start talking about him the way they talk about Musim Kwewane?
We probably will, I assume. I don't know if we'll speak in as lucid and as florid a choice of language, but we'll have to see. So here it is. It's taken 25 years to get the apartheid flag abolished and banned, but it seems like it still haunts a lot of people. And don't get me wrong, I have no desire to brandish this flag. The last time I saw it was when I was at primary school. I don't have any love for it. I'm not attached to it. I don't really feel any connection at all. And I think it's really dumb when people do bring it out, because it, to me, it's just retrograde. You know, it means you're in the past. It means you are a backward person. You probably don't have any grasp of history. But to have to ban this seems to me like we're fighting a boogeyman who's already dead. You know, this is like digging up Verwoerd and saying to his corpse, you're a bad person. It's a pointless, stupid exercise that has consumed and absorbed people for far too long. We have actual problems in South Africa, and we're worried about a piece of fabric with some symbols on it. And don't get me wrong, I understand, because Pumi and I were in Germany last year, and we spoke about the rules they have against, you know, Nazi regalia and stuff that's, and that's 40, 50, it's almost 60 years ago that all of that ended. So I know that there's a place for this. But for us to still be in court deciding whether or not something should be banned or considered hate speech, it's just a bit childish now. We have better things to do. We have a country that's a broken country, as Pumi said, just a broken system, a broken, you know. Let's figure out the problems we actually have that really affect people on a daily basis. I don't think that us, Jane, who wakes up in Alex every morning and has to get here through such newfangled and insane means of transport, who has to make her way through all kinds of crazy hell to get to the studio every morning.
On time.
And I don't believe for a second that she is absorbed by the old flag in any way, shape, or form. I don't think it bothers her. I don't think it enters her memory or her life on a daily basis. We're fighting a boogeyman that's dead.
But I do think that there's a psychological battle that needed to be had around this thing. For the mere fact that there was an entire organization that is very well funded, insisting and fighting for having this symbol as part of everyday society, says to me that there's a big faction of our, and the psychological battle that needed to be won is one that says, which, like in Germany, I mean, everybody in Germany absolutely understands and knows why this thing belongs in the past and belongs in their museums and belongs in that part of their society. But we in this country have people who insist on having it be part of everyday society, and that's the battle that had to be won. It had to be won.
And let's just remember that what they actually ruled was, because a lot of people are getting very uptight about this, which I don't understand either. Why would you get so upset? Someone asked the question, does this mean that you can't own an old flag for the purposes of, like, educating your grandchildren? Or let's say that you've got, you know, some piece of apartheid memorabilia. Some people collect this stuff because it's hilarious, right? You had like a Betsy Verwoerd ashtray or something. Some people have this stuff. So the only reason that it would be declared hate speech is when it is gratuitously displayed in terms of Section 10 of the Equality Act. Okay, so that is a very narrow. This is when you take it to a sports match, which of course is stupid. This is when you take it into a public space and you display it alongside the other flags as if it has any kind of equal standing. Those things.
Or at the bar.
Or at the bar. I mean, like, why would you hang an old apartheid flag at the bar? Listen, I understand that there's going to be a time where we will laugh, but there's still some wounds and there's still some people who take that period in our history very personally and very seriously, and I don't blame them. So I think we've got to put this away. The fact that we're still absorbed by this is a little bit sad. We should have moved on by now. There are other stories. What do you want to know about? Do you want to know about this nurse who was rattled after a scuffle with traffic cops where they stole her phone
No, man.
This kind of locally.
Yeah, obvious. You know, you and I have this problem. I say you and I. Gugu and I have a major problem with the cops because we spoke about those informal traders in the CBD and how they were extorted, basically, mm-hmm. by police. So a Hartbeespoort nurse was rattled after a group of female traffic officials allegedly manhandled her earlier this week. She'd been driving between Brits
a group of female.
Mm. She'd been driving between Brits and Hartbeespoort on Monday when she was pulled over. She told News 24 it was not immediately clear what was happening. I'm a traveling nurse, so I was going from Brits to Hartbeespoort to take blood back to the lab, and on my way, I saw a commotion in front. I saw lots of flashing lights, saw hazard lights and brake lights, and I thought there was an accident. She said she saw a woman running into the road, but it was not obvious that she was a traffic official. She didn't look like a speed cop. It looked like she had a brown jersey on and brown pants, and I thought there might be someone lying in the road. So I swerved not to hit her, and I swerved to the right. Everybody swerved to the right. She ran to the right and stopped me. Then she said, "Move out of the road," and luckily I looked left because a truck came past.
Ugh.
I was shaking when I pulled up, and she said, "Why did you move?" And I said, "You know you're reckless. Did you
see what
happened?"
Is this all in the article?
No. This is all in the article.
No, this is the eyewitness I love.
I'm like, what is Gareth?
Sounds like
you're
describing a specific...
I love an eyewitness who knows details.
I did also think for some moment there, Gareth, that is Gareth making some...
No, I'm reading a proper
storytelling.
So apparently then they took her phone, they harassed her, they manhandled her, and this woman was shaken. I mean, if you're a woman traveling on your own, first of all, you should never be put through this, ever. And second of all, I don't think that our cops know how to deal with anybody.
You know, this story is particularly concerning because, again, another story that's making, you know, that's growing, a developing story, is of the gentleman who was apparently beaten and died because
it was in the news.
It's a developing story because the autopsy came out yesterday, and his sister, I think, has been on quite a number of news channels talking about the autopsy report, and it is now become clear that this man was actually beaten by the police, and because of his injuries, he died.
Mm.
This is around the corner from here, guys, in four ways.
Yeah, it's... Listen, you know, the fact that you could be beaten up by police, that's the kind of gangster
crazy,
stuff.
Huh?
That's the kind of stuff that belongs with that old flag.
And with Russia and places like that where people... There's just lawlessness, you know, and the police are empowered to do whatever the hell they want. It's very scary. And then, I don't know if you remember someone called Margaret Gardner. She was South Africa's first Miss Universe. She celebrated her 60th birthday on Wednesday. And she did that by putting on a bikini.
Yes.
And lounging on a couch.
Oh, Lord.
Oh Margaret.
60-year-old woman.
Is that a photo of Margaret?
Yeah.
We don't want to see that.
No, I don't mean to objectify further, but I do want to see that.
You do want to see that. I want to see that.
Okay, well, she's 60 years old, and good for her. She doesn't look so bad at 60.
Oh, it's a tasteful.
Oh,
it's a tasteful picture.
Margaret's got it going on.
Oh, Margaret.
Oh, monochrome. Mm-hmm.
Look, in the world of Kendalls and Tyres and Giselles, a name like Margaret doesn't scream 60.
No, but here's the thing, right? I've always said
Margaret
the one form of bigotry that's still okay by most people is ageism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sometimes guilty of it. We all are. We make fun of, some old guy or some old woman, and we make a mockery of them because we go, "Oh, they're old," and we dismiss them. I got to tell you something. If you can put on a bikini at 60, and you have the confidence to release a photograph of yourself, and she does look good. I mean, you know, she's an older woman. She doesn't look like Kendall Jenner. But good for her. This is the way to go. And, you know, 60 is not old. These days, 60 is the beginning of a whole new phase of your life, which could be the most exciting time of your life. It's not like it once was. When you were 60, two, three generations ago, you were basically in the grave. Now, 60 could be the beginning of a chapter that could be the most exciting of all.
Dude, Cicely Tyson just turned 94, and she's just been cast in yet another TV series by Ava DuVernay.
See what I mean?
I think Cicely Tyson will just make a grand exit. She won't even die. She'll make a grand exit while a camera is rolling somewhere.
Right. Betty White will do the same.
I had never heard of Margaret Gardner, I have to be honest, but now I'm looking at her. Her legs are as long as my whole body. She's gorgeous.
And then
there was a Lux commercial. say, with like Margaret Gardner,
Did you see, Shame, we spoke about how Peter Fonda died the other day, but Jane Fonda, his older sister, who's of course like the poster girl for
Jane Fonda good. Was also very big on yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She had her own tapes back in the day. Beat the Burn or something.
And all of that. And the yoga. And she was part of the popularizing of yoga movement.
I saw her in a commercial the other day. She may have had great work done. And lots of people elect to do that, and good for them.
She has.
But Jane Fonda is 80-something, and she looks phenomenal. So, you know what? Good for you. And you should be able to wear a bikini at any age. And if you look as good as Margaret Gardner or as Jane Fonda, fantastic.
At Power any age? Thank you for empowering me, Gareth. I'll wear one now.
You can wear one right now if you want to. And then just quickly...
Again, something I wouldn't want to see.
A controversial issue, but something that I'm sure will get us all talking, because South Africa talks about this stuff like we do about the old flag. South Africa has got the go-ahead to increase black rhino trophy hunting. So within certain very specific confines, you will be able to buy black rhino horn. It will be sold on the market legitimately. These animals will be hunted for money. They will be conserved for that purpose. And I know this is a very controversial opinion, and people are going to be up in arms, but this will help the population of black rhinos to get back up to where it needs to go. Conservation and hunting go hand in hand. They are not mutually exclusive. When we look after something because it has commercial value, instead of just trying to protect it and fighting and fighting and fighting against the market forces, we lose.
Well, I don't get the correlation between the horn and killing or hunting the animal.
Well, some people, so this is for trophy hunting. No, you can. So this is for trophy hunting. Mm-hmm. So what you would do is someone would come in and they'd pay $2 million to hunt. And for whatever, I mean, I would never want to kill a black rhino, but someone might want to do this. They might want to put that trophy on their wall and say, look, I hunted a black rhino and I got it.
Someone from Texas, right?
But they will breed. They will breed that animal for the purposes of eventually being hunted. And as a result of its life, and it's the protection it will be afforded during its life while it's maturing for the hunt, it will probably father another generation of black rhinos, and these animals will be conserved and looked after because suddenly they have legitimate financial value, and it's not just a bunch of do-gooders who are trying to keep a population alive. It will be a commercial vested interest. This will be good for black rhino in the long run. So that's my opinion. We'll see. We give it 10 years and let's work it out again. I'm not going to have a debate with anyone at the moment because, obviously, it's still open to all kinds of interpretations.
Mm.
Anything else you want to know, or can we wrap that up, the five things?
Well, those are the five things. And just to jump onto something we touched on very briefly yesterday, Google, you were talking about what's happening in the Amazon rainforest.
Mm. Yes.
The fire.
Yeah, so just to clarify that, there's now been a new development on that, an official statement, which is wildfires raging in the Amazon rainforest have hit a record number this year. So this year alone, there have been 72,843 fires detected so far by Brazil's Space Research Center, the INPE. So the surge marks an 83% increase over the same period of 2018, and it is the highest since records began in 2013.
Well, you know what I think is interesting is that there's this outcry on social media. Again, all the slacktivists have suddenly pitched up and, oh my God, it's so terrible, they're burning the rainforest.
Slacktivists. Keyboard warriors.
You know what I mean? These are the same people who wanted John Coney...
Joseph Kony
in the DRC to be. He's still there, you losers. You did absolutely nothing with your Facebook posts and your Instagrams and your screams and squeals and wails and noise on social media. The Chibok girls are still missing. You're a bunch.
I disagree slightly.
If we left anything to the people who make the biggest noise, the virtue signaling brigade on social media, nothing would ever be done. So you know what? I'm sick to death of seeing a bunch of people who've never got off their fat asses and done a damn thing except for themselves going online and saying how everything in the world is wrong and, oh my God, the rainforest. Well, let me tell you something. You're comparing the rainforest to Notre Dame and saying to the rest of us, like you're screaming from a box in a park and hoping someone will hear you, oh my God, I can't believe they saved Notre Dame, but they're not going to save the rainforest. The two are not comparable.
Yeah, you can't equate.
It's not apples and apples. The people who saved Notre Dame didn't include me or Pumi or Sia or Gugu or you. It was a bunch of people who had a real interest in history and in that building. And they probably are the same people who will save the rainforest. Stop your wailing. You are not important. And your noise is off-putting to everybody who doesn't virtue signal for a living. Get a real job, make a real difference, and donate as much money to the rainforest as you like. And until then, shut your mouth.
Get Gareth some water. Yeah. Breathe, dude. Breathe. Hey.
It drives me mad.
Breathe.
I'm just so sick of a whole bunch of people who've never done anything in their lives carrying on as if they've got virtue on their side. You've done nothing for the rainforest, and now you want people like me to feel like you've done something just by making a noise about it online. What did you do before Twitter? Huh?
So what are we doing? So are we changing our profile pictures or not?
That is right on cue. Are we going to change? Yeah.
Good morning, Gareth and team. This is a message that we just got now from, one of the ugliest profile pictures I've ever seen. Hen van Straten. Hen says, please send a shout out to my brother Julius, who is now a new daily listener. It took me more than a year to get him to listen to this show. While I'm at it, hey Julius, there is nothing wrong with being a homosexual. Time to get out of the closet, man. It's not right towards your wife and kids. Peace and love.
Wow.
I am so glad I don't have a brother. I am so glad. Boys are... Your boys are rough.
That's honest. Hilarious. All right.
No. Honesty.
Okay. Hey, Julius. But
talking about the old...
Welcome, Julius.
Yeah, welcome, Julius. And don't worry about that. This is Munir Beneker who says, talking about the old flag, I watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Some really, really classic movie from the 1970s, 80s, which people haul out and watch, and then they do the time warp dance and all of that
Let's
stuff.
Let's do
That's right. I thought it was funny that during the time warp dance, on the scene on one of the tables, there was a small replica of the old South African flag.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure that it was one of the movies the old government would have banned. Yes, they would have.
They would have.
Definitely.
I've
they were transsexuals.
Mm.
Yeah, so the old
now
flag.
Now I have to go watch the. Now I have to go watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It was released back in 1975. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. 75, huh?
Jeez.
That's a long ass time ago.
Look, it still stands.
Well, how do I? So you've met my faithful handyman.
That's Tim Curry.
It really does still stand in terms of entertainment value. Look, we know how obsessed Dory is, who works with us here, with things of way back when.
Oh, she loves it.
And she was actually the one who forced me one night to watch it. She's like, you know, you cannot be missing out on something like this. And so we had a movie night at her place. And that's how I properly got to understand the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Wow. Okay. When we come back, it is time for the burning platform, which I know a lot of people wake up for on a Thursday, and you don't feel like your day is properly started until you've got the burning platform under your belt. So this morning will be no different. Canthan Pile and Pumi Mashiro and you and me and the entire human race. Uh-oh. We will get it right this morning. We're going to make it happen. So get ready. Touch on all the big stories of the day. We'll talk about whether or not a hate speech victory is any kind of victory at all. We'll talk a little bit about the Arto Act. We'll talk about some of the things that Cyril is trying to tell people when he opens his mouth to change feet. Well, what's wrong? What?
Cyril opened his mouth.
Cyril opened. Canvin just stood up. Yeah. Like, what? Cyril opened his mouth? No.
I don't even remember what the man looks like.
Exactly.
We spoke like about a cupcake.
Like a
This is CliffCentral.com.